Stay tuned for one of the most unusual and fascinating hours you'll ever hear. The subject is UFOs. Welcome to the Paranet UFO Continuum, a one-hour program dedicated to a very strange phenomena, unidentified flying objects. Whether or not you believe UFOs exist, the controversy is real, and this program will try to get to the bottom of it. Your host is Michael Corbin, Director of Paranet Information Services, a global communications network based near Denver, Colorado, dedicated to the investigation of UFOs. We invite you to keep an open mind as we discuss one of the most fascinating and strange subjects in the world. Here's your host, Michael Corbin.
And good evening. The controversy continues to rage on as to what level of involvement that certain intelligence agencies may have in UFO research, including abductions. What are the possibilities that agencies of the government are involving themselves in damage control? What could that mean? Could there be involvement in setting up abduction support groups to keep an eye on those who may be having a real experience with something non-human? If so, what are some of the indications of this and why? Is mind control just a clever cover for some UFO working group that is indeed trying to keep news of alien beings under control? Well, these and other questions we're going to explore tonight on this program with my guest. But first, let me formally introduce two new affiliates to the ever-growing Paranet Radio family. We are now being heard all the way into Juneau, Alaska on KINY AM 800 and in Merced, California on Talk Radio 1480 KYOS. My thanks go to the program directors Mike Skull and Rick Minyard, Mike being at KINY in Juneau and Rick being at KYOS in Merced. We are pleased that they will be joining us weekly live right here on the Paranet UFO Continuum. And for the listeners in those areas, I want to especially invite you to call in tonight toll-free to talk to our guest at 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009. Now, there's lots of exciting things are going on that I want to inform you about tonight. First, the latest issue of The Continuum, Paranet's official quarterly news magazine, is now out. Those of you who are subscribers will be getting theirs shortly in the mail. But for those of you that do not have subscribed yet, you might want to do it now. Continuum is published quarterly and is packed with interesting and provocative news from around the world dealing with late-breaking developments in UFO research, sightings, and a lot more. This particular issue has an article by Dr. Greg Wheeler, who is Paranet's in-house psychologist who studies the abduction phenomena and also moderates our abduction conference. Greg's got an article in this issue called Childhood's End. It's a review of John Mack's book, Abduction. It's a very controversial book, and as you may know, Dr. John Mack is a Harvard psychiatrist, and Greg talks about this book. There's also some MICAP news in there. We've got a report from Central Scotland of a UFO flap that's apparently going on there. We also have an article by Shelley Thompson. Shelley's been a guest a couple of times on our program discussing remote viewing, and she discusses the role of government, and that is one of the subjects that we have talked about at length on this program. We also have our regular features, article from the director's desk, me, random walk, Paranet postings, stuff off of the computer network, sources and resources, so you might want to get your subscription in. It's also a good way for people who don't use computers to keep abreast of what is happening around the world on the Paranet computer network. This is definitely a must for anyone who has a serious interest in what's going on. So be sure and get your subscription in. You can do it by sending $18 for a yearly subscription to Continuum, Box 172, Wheat Ridge, Colorado, 834-0172. That's Continuum, Box 172, Wheat Ridge, Colorado, 80034-0172. And if you'll send in your subscription now and mention that you heard about it on our program tonight, I'm going to send you a free issue of the Continuum, together with a complete file catalog of all of the Paranet files that are available on Paranet. And this is a $5 value that will come with your subscription. And in addition to that, we're going to give you $15 credit on your first order of any of the files that you might have an interest in receiving. This catalog contains complete listings of all the files, and not only that, again, like I said, you get a free issue of the magazine. So again, send your subscription of $18 to Continuum, Box 172, Wheat Ridge, Colorado, 80034-0172. Okay, now, for our Denver listeners on KNUS, the next MICAP meeting will be held at Jackson's Hole Saloon at I-25 and 104th on this coming Thursday night, January 12th at 7:30 p.m. Plan to attend. There is a $3 cover charge at the door. As you recall, last week we had the International Director Brian Wood on the program, and we talked about MICAP. MICAP stands for the Multinational Investigations Cooperative on Aerial Phenomena. This is your opportunity to get involved in the research and investigation of the UFO phenomena. We must get people involved in the research, or we may never get to the bottom of this frustrating mystery. So if you're in the Denver area, plan on attending this coming Thursday night at 7:30. If you need further information on this, you can call us at 303-429-2654. Now, one last thing before we go on to our guest. Paranet has installed a new toll-free sightings hotline. This means that you can reach us 24 hours a day to let us know what is going on in your part of the world toll-free. Now, take down this number. It is 1-800-387-2001. That's 1-800-387-2001. You can use this hotline to contact us about any sightings that you might have to report or encounters, or get a hold of me to discuss anything that might be going on in your area. And we'll keep you informed, what we find out using this number. So, again, that number is 1-800-387-2001. Okay, my guest tonight is Clark Matthews. He is a New York-based computer professional and technology columnist for The Spotlight, the weekly newspaper of the Liberty Lobby in Washington, D.C. Clark is also a regular contributor to Mondo 2000 magazine. Clark has worked for 12 years in the field of information technology, principally as a writer and marketing consultant for hardware and software products. In 1989 through 90, as part of an advertising project, he was able to examine technical specifications for computer and telecommunications equipment designed for America's new digital telephone network. Based on the specifications of the Integrated Services Digital Network, which is ISDN, it was immediately apparent to him that the network itself had been designed in the 1980s with a low-profile information highway already built in. The potential of the semi-secret information highway was surveillance of Americans and information gathering on their personal habits. Through ISDN sideband channels like signaling system number 7, America's telephone network is designed as an infrastructure for complete automated surveillance of Americans in their homes. Excuse me. Subsequent revelations about government-sponsored technical projects raised Clark's concerns even more. Agencies like the FBI have developed and deployed automated equipment designed to actually implement this in-home surveillance system, as well as an alarming legislative agenda to legalize what they apparently do already. Clark's weekly column in The Spotlight focuses on topics like this: technical, legal, constitutional, and common sense. These are just some of the things that he has done. Clark is also an associate of mine. I've known him for several years. He is part of the Paranet Computer Network. He is one of our sysops in the on the East Coast. And Clark has done a lot of research into the UFO phenomenon. The way that this connects with this, and we're going to talk about this tonight, is there seems to be places where all this stuff converges, and there are congruences in this, and there are similarities to what's going on in the intelligence community and how it might connect to UFO research and mind control. So we're going to talk about that when we come back, and we'll introduce our guest, Clark Matthews. So sit tight. We'll be back after this break. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum.
Get the latest UFO news delivered right to your door with Continuum, the official quarterly publication of Paranet Information Services. Continuum offers a serious look at the world of ufology through hard news reports and interesting and provocative interviews with leading ufologists and investigators. There's a source and resource section to help you locate information on UFOs, plus much, much more. Each issue is also packed with information from the Paranet Information Services International Communications Network. So be informed with this comprehensive publication. Subscribe now and receive 5 issues for the price of 4. Send check or money order for $18 to Continuum, Box 172, Wheat Ridge, Colorado, 80034. That's Continuum, Box 172, Wheat Ridge, Colorado, 80034. Do it now.
Grab a pen and get ready to copy down a computer address.
It's an email address where you can reach the Paranet Information Services BBS through America Online. With America Online's Internet Gateway, you can send us mail and we can respond to you personally through your America Online screen name. With America Online's Usenet newsgroup tie-in, you can also access the 7 Paranet newsgroups dealing with UFOs, metaphysics, paranormal activity, and others. Learn about our upcoming shows and pose questions in advance. And if your question is selected, you'll get a free cassette copy of the show. You'll also find summaries of past shows. If you're not already a customer of America Online, call 1-800-827-6364 for more information. Now, here's that email address to reach us. It's paranet@aol.com or paranet@paranet.org. America Online and Paranet, a winning combination.
Listening to one of the most unusual programs you'll ever hear. It's the Paranet UFO Continuum, and it deals with one of the most fascinating subjects around. Once again, here's your host, the Director of Paranet Information Services, Michael Corbin.
And once again, our toll-free call-in line is 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009. My guest again is Clark Matthews. Clark is a New York-based computer professional and technology columnist for The Spotlight. Welcome, Clark. Good evening. Clark, are you there? Okay, we're going to try to get him back up and find out what happened to him. Clark is going to talk about a little bit, give you a little bit of background on this so we can get him back on the phone with us. The aspect that we want to discuss tonight has to do with the intelligence community. We talked about this on several programs. How much does the intelligence community get involved in UFO research? How much have they been involved in the past? And we have demonstrated, research has shown, documents released through FOIA and a couple of things such as that have shown that, you know, they have been very concerned. The question is, and something that's come up on this program has been, for example, the 1972 coin helicopter case that happened in Ohio. The pilot of the helicopter, after having that spectacular UFO encounter where he was approached by a UFO at rapid speed, and this thing stopped in front of the helicopter and lifted the helicopter in the air. The most remarkable part of that whole entire experience was what happened later after the encounter, when they were contacted by someone who identified themselves as a Pentagon worker who was interested in the metaphysical aspect of what was going on with that sighting, and they asked him some strange question, like, did you have any dreams or, you know, is anything like that going on? And to me, that was a very, very important aspect that seemed to have been missed by a lot of their UFO researchers, because of the fact that it indicates that there was a group inside the government at the Pentagon that was interested in UFOs after 1969. Now, 1969 is important because the U.S. Air Force contracted with the University of Colorado at Boulder under the name of the Condon Committee, and they decided that at that time that there was no interest or nothing could be gained by further study of UFOs by the military. And it was based upon the findings of the Condon Committee that the Air Force officially closed Project Blue Book and said, we are no longer in the UFO business. If that is true, what are these guys doing at the Pentagon following up on an encounter like this in 1972? I think it's very, very interesting. And I think that in some of these other cases, there have been indications that the intelligence community has been very involved, including the Betty and Barney Hill abduction case of 1961. So it seems like there is another channel of what I call the UFO working group, MJ-12, whatever you want to call it. I don't believe MJ-12 to be an accurate name or descriptor of a group, but I think that the group does exist. I think we got Clark on. Clark, are you there?
I'm right here. How are you, Mike?
Thank you. Very good. I'm glad to have you on the program tonight. I was just giving some background while we were trying to get you back on about some of the things that we're going to focus on tonight having to do with the intelligence community and how they might be plugging into the UFO mystery, what they're doing and why they're doing it. So, you know, that's kind of an idea of where we're going to go with this. But before we do that, I want to bring our listeners up to speed on some of the research and the background that you have involved in the research of UFOs.
Well, I'm one of the original Paranet bulletin board nodes going back to, I guess not one of the real original ones, but going back to 1990 or 91.
Mm-hmm.
I really had a lifelong interest in the subject ever since 1966, I guess, when a bunch of my kid friends and I saw something while we were playing tennis on Long Island, and whatever we saw just sort of hung over some power lines for a while and disappeared before our eyes. And about 15 or 20 minutes later, a big unmarked white-colored, it looked like a Viscount prop jet airplane came wailing over extremely low and flew right over where this thing had been. And it's something that really never leaves you when you see something like that. Just recently I got together with these, a couple of these guys out of my hometown, and we sort of hung out for a while and talked about other things for a while. And once we all got caught up, there was this long silence, and then this buddy of mine looked up at me and said, "Hey, do you remember that day when we were playing tennis?"
Wow. How long ago was that, Clark?
That was 1965.
65. So that was during a time when there was an intense amount of UFO activity all over the country.
There was. Subsequently, as I got into the field reading and being on the networks and so on, but mainly from reading, it dawned on me, and I think on a couple of my friends too, that there was a huge UFO wave over the United States and I guess elsewhere in 1965. Even some kind of object was seen over one of the generating stations that failed and caused the great blackout in 1965. So it was quite a summer.
That's true. And I remember now something recently about a blackout on the West Coast all the way up into Canada, that there was some speculation that there might have been something like that going on. You got a comment on that?
Not really. I've heard the stories. I don't really know any more than you do. It sounds like probably less.
Uh-huh. Okay. But anyway, well, back to this then. So your interest was piqued by the experience that you had in 65.
Yeah.
Where did that take you?
First and foremost, it took me into a lot of books. It took me to the old Flying Saucer News bookstore on 9th Avenue, or I guess it was on 45th Street in 9th Avenue in New York, in the Film Center building there. Based on my experience, I sort of came to the conclusion that whatever it was some kind of dimensional phenomenon that we seemed to be aware of, and could even detect based on that very strange airplane that flew over. I should say that where I grew up was on the flight paths for Kennedy and LaGuardia airports in New York. And there were very strict rules about planes flying too low. So it was highly unusual that this aircraft that we saw came over, I don't want to say a treetop level, but it was no more than 1,000 feet in the air, and I think less.
That's pretty wild.
There were no protests. It was a strange-looking airplane in that it was painted all white, and it didn't seem to have any markings that we could see.
But that might make one believe that they were specifically using that plane to chase whatever the object was.
Or conversely, to sort of steer this a little bit toward mind control, that maybe the plane was causing the image.
That's interesting.
My personal feeling is that, I don't believe that. I think that what we saw was independent of the aircraft. But, in terms of what mind control is and why the Pentagon might be be interested in UFOs, and the CIA and other agencies of the government and international agencies too, would be the tremendous impact that something like that has, whether it's real or whether it's something that you can hoax somehow. It really makes everyone stop, and people automatically seem to believe it. Look at the War of the Worlds broadcast back in whenever it was, 1938, I guess. The impact of that broadcast was not lost on the OSS and its successor agency, the CIA.
Okay, now let's we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about that, and we'll start exploring the aspects of the mind control arena and how it might pertain to UFOs. We come back from our break. My guest is Clark Matthews. He's a New York-based computer professional and technology columnist for The Spotlight. He is talking about the intelligence community and its involvement in UFO research and sightings, etc. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009. That's a toll-free number. Give us a call. We'll be right back after this break.
The Paranet UFO Continuum is pleased to offer a number of exciting products. Cassette tapes of previous shows are available for $8 each, or two for $12, or four for $20. You can also order Paranet memberships and subscriptions to Continuum, Paranet's quarterly newsletter. Paranet, along with MICAP, the Multinational Investigations Cooperative on Aerial Phenomena, is pleased to offer a stunning black t-shirt with a background of galaxies, stars, and comets, and the Paranet and MICAP logos, along with the beautiful blue-green planet Earth. When you order from Paranet, you're helping to keep this program on the air. Call now to place an order or to get more information at 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-UFO-6381. Paranet, your window on the universe, at 1-800-UFO-6381.
Month after month, we hear the laments. Where are the quality investments? Interest rates are down. Bonds and IRAs flat. Well, one investment has surfaced recently, paying enormous dividends. It's priced reasonably, it's simple to purchase, and while you can't buy it on the stock market, you can buy it at your supermarket. It's any product or packaging made from recycled materials. When you buy those products, the paper, plastic, metal, and glass that you've recycled gets put to good use, and recycling keeps working to help protect the earth. So look for products and packaging made from recycled materials and buy recycled. In a world of investments, it's the only one that means the world to all of us. For a free brochure on buying recycled, call the Environmental Defense Fund at 1-800-CALL-EDF.
This message from the Ad Council, the U.S. EPA, and the Environmental Defense Fund.
Listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum. Whether or not you believe in UFOs, there's a lot about the subject you haven't heard. Stay tuned. Keep an open mind. Call in and join the discussion. Once again, here's your host, Michael Corbin.
And my guest tonight is Clark Matthews. He's a New York-based computer professional and technology columnist for The Spotlight. And we're talking about the intelligence communities, mind control, and UFO involvement in those things. And by the way, Clark is also, as he mentioned, he's a Paranet computer operator. We call that in the computer world a sysop. And he is also the moderator of a what we call Paranet Intrigue. It's a conspiracy theories forum where we explore conspiracy theories and the various aspects of them and how they might relate to UFOs. Welcome back, Clark.
Oh, it's great to be back.
And when we left off, we were starting to talk about the CIA. A lot of people would agree that what has appeared to be legitimate studies by the military under Project Grudge and Sign and Blue Book might have been nothing more than an elaborate public relations campaign to keep the public pacified while the real investigation was going on behind the curtain of secrecy. I guess where we start seeing some of this taking place now, especially in the modern day, is in the Roswell, the alleged crash of a disc at Roswell, New Mexico in 1947. But more importantly, with the Robertson panel in 1952, when they established public policy to strip the UFO mystery of its, you know, of its mystery. But in that facet, what do you see in your research? What do you see that has taken place as a result of this policy making and the involvement of the CIA, the NSA, and whoever else might be involved in this?
Well, it's interesting. It's a double-edged sword, really. First of all, I think we're dealing with two things here, at least. I think, just based on my own experience and just the libraries of independent information that's been gathered over the years, I think that UFOs are real.
Mm-hmm.
They're a manifestation of something. They might be dimensional. They might be physical objects that are able to transport themselves around dimensionally. They might be under intelligent control. They might be a natural phenomenon. We could speculate about that a lot. But as you know, I mainly write about politics and technology, and the Paranet Plots Echo is about the conspiracy theories and maybe even some conspiracy facts. Put yourself in the shoes, putting ourselves in the shoes of the people who were running the CIA back in the late 40s and the early 50s at the time of Roswell and the Robertson panel, the big UFO wave over Washington, the earlier ones over Scandinavia and elsewhere.
You're talking about like the ghost rockets?
Exactly, uh-huh. Yeah. What these guys would have been very cognizant of, these guys in the intelligence community or the, I dare say it's more than that, but what they would have been very cognizant of is the tremendous impact that this phenomenon has on people, on their attitudes. And if memory serves, one of the things that came out as part of the Robertson panel, or the only public documents that came out of it, and correct me on this, because I think this is the Robertson panel, but I could be wrong, was that they said that if widespread acceptance of the UFO phenomenon would be tremendously pernicious to the national will and productivity. In other words, if people thought advanced alien forces were going to come to this planet and there wasn't a damn thing we could do about it, people would give up.
Mm-hmm.
They'd give up on the Cold War. They'd give up on, whatever you want to call it, American imperialism
essentially,
or whatever was going on in the wake of World War II.
Essentially, something would break down.
Exactly. So the concern that the Central Intelligence Agency people would have had, and they probably had a number of different concerns. First of all, they were concerned if it was a real phenomenon. Secondly, they were probably concerned if it was Russian. Thirdly, we know that they were tremendously impressed with the propaganda value or the disinformation value or the psychological warfare value of things like UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
And Orson Welles sort of gave people an unintended demonstration of that in the 1930s. And from time to time, even to this day, even as recently as last fall, there was what people have called an irresponsible broadcast of a War of the Worlds-like thing on Halloween that fooled a lot of people. So they're still trying. This is still on the agenda. These And when you see things like that, or when you see things in the cover of the Sunday New York Times, as I did about a month ago, about the Roswell crash, you wonder what they're driving at.
Well, sure, it makes you wonder what the agenda really is.
Exactly.
One thing I'm really impressed by is the possibility that there is, you know, for example, if something did crash in 47, something of that magnitude would certainly not be well dealt with within the infrastructure of the military, which is something I think everybody would have to acknowledge to be true. It's really a science and development or research and development project. But I think the thing is that if this material did pass through the military and into some kind of a civilian sector, you know, into a defense contractor sector, I'm kind of concerned that maybe there might have been something set, for example, abuse might be set up from the standpoint that there's no accountability. And one of the things that has been suggested by a couple of people that have been on the program has been that there might be that one venue occurring where somebody is trying to benefit or exploit the technology for their own benefit.
Sure.
You know, do you see that as a possibility?
Yes, I do. But going to the issue of accountability, I don't think there's any accountability surrounding the intelligence community and the whole kind of national security apparatus anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, there's no accountability about their covert operations. There's no accountability about their ongoing mind control experiments, about their their ongoing blackmail schemes, their ongoing assassination schemes. The real issue is a lack of accountability.
Okay. All right, let's go to a call. We've got Frank calling in from Salt Lake on our affiliate KCNR. Good evening, Frank.
Hello?
Hi, Frank. You there?
Yeah.
What's your question for our guest?
Okay, I just wanted to basically say that in a lot of abduction scenarios, people talk about seeing military people, regular human beings, walking next to aliens or at least being in the
excellent question.
Abduction you know, cases. And I think if you want manipulation of people's minds or whatever, if we were able to get in ships and go to another planet, would we want the inhabitants of that planet to think that aliens were visiting their planet, or would we want them to think it was a big hoax and to basically laugh about it? And I think if the military or the CIA or someone knows what's going on, the best service they could do is to try and make the public think that this is all an illusion. What does your guest think about if the military or some agencies are, you know, lying to us? What that means is there's a great big, you know, for example, the speed of light. If you know, we have interstellar travel as possible, and we are being visited, then the military or these agencies are lying to us and not telling us that perhaps even some of the laws of physics that up till now say that interstellar travel is impossible really are possible.
Okay. Frank, thanks for your call. We have to go to our next break, but when we come back, I'll have Clark comment on that, okay? All right? Thanks for calling. Okay, 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009. My guest is Clark Matthews. When we come back, we're going to comment on that, because Frank, our caller, brought up a very interesting aspect of that, the reports of seeing civilian or military officials in close proximity to aliens during abduction experiences. So, like I said, when we get back, we'll comment on that. 1-800-836-2009. We'll be right back.
Paranet Information Services is your electronic window on the world of UFOs, accessible by computer and modem. Paranet keeps you up to date on the world pulse of ufology, with sighting reports, interesting findings, and general discussion on the mysterious UFO enigma. Paranet features one of the most comprehensive text file libraries in the world on the paranormal, available for a small online fee. So plug into power and knowledge through Paranet. The BBS number is available 24 hours a day. Call the data line at area 303 303-429-2713. That's 303-429-2713. Or for more information, contact Paranet Information Services at area 303-429-2654. That's 303-429-2654.
Pilots, when you fly, you need convenient, accurate information for safe flight and landing operations, as well as local businesses that provide you with the services and treatment you deserve. The Skyway Publications Airport Directory and Entertainment Guides are what you need. These are free, pocket-sized guides giving you information about large and small airports all over the country. Information like radio frequencies, runway systems, coordinates, and taxiways, as well as fuel and aircraft services provided at the airport, and local businesses catering to private pilots. It's yours, free. Ask the fixed base operator at your favorite stops to carry the Skyway Airport Directory and Entertainment Guides, or call area 303-669-1800. Skyway Publications, your ticket to safer, cheaper, and more convenient flight. Talk to the FBO at your favorite destinations or call Skyway Publications at area 303-669-1800.
Are UFOs for real, or are they just fiction? To find out, stay with us for more of the Paranet UFO Continuum with your host, Michael Corbin.
And my guest is Clark Matthews, and we're talking about the intelligence community's mind control and the UFO and their involvement in the UFO research. Clark, before we went to break, our caller Frank was wanting to comment on reports of military or civilian authorities being seen in close proximity to alleged aliens during abduction experiences. What do you think that represents? Does that mean that the government might either A, be staging this whole event, or B, are they in conjunction, or are they working in collaboration with something non-human?
What do I think? I think it could be either one.
I know Willie Strieber was the one that first reported something like that, and I know I've heard this come up before.
Yes, there have been a number of reports of that, and there have been Jacques Vallée has written about some very peculiar UFO sightings in which people saw UFOs coming up out of the ground, among other things. When I hear stories about uniformed U.S. military personnel in the presence of aliens during these so-called abduction experiences, the first thing I'm thinking of is the false memory syndrome.
Uh-huh.
What that really is trauma-based programming. And this has been a CIA priority since the late 40s. The MK Ultra program, MK Naomi was another one. There was basically active forms of mind control directed against people or groups. I do wonder, when I hear stories like that, what could be going on. Now some people, as I said, I'm pretty convinced of the reality of UFOs, whatever they are.
Mm-hmm.
Just based on my personal experience. But I'm wondering if that doesn't point towards something else, if it doesn't point towards some kind of advanced mind control or recovered memory or implanted memory type experiments directed at a subset of the civilian population.
Now, what is the possibility that this could be mind control on the part of the non-human intelligence? Could they be orchestrating some kind of a mind control game? Is that
sure.
possible?
Sure.
I know that the reason I say that is because I think a little obscure project known as OSMA that happened in the late 50s, early 60s, the forerunner of SETI, when they turned on their antenna and they picked up those unusual signals, there was a considerable amount of discussion among scientists who were afraid that perhaps even listening to something might be psychologically damaging to us, from an alien intelligence several light years from Earth.
Oh, sure, and they were right, because we know now that it is possible to listen to things and have them profoundly influence our behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, again, the CIA, including some of their leading researchers, Jolly and West is one, has made big strides in things like psychoacoustical, in other words, audio frequencies that relax people or excite people or traumatize people, and neuroacoustical technologies, which are among these so-called non-lethal technologies that were discussed at a conference keynoted by Janet Reno and a General Alexander, John Alexander. This was at Johns Hopkins University in November of 1993, in which Ms. Reno was so excited about these non-lethal, or some of them are really mind control technologies, that she committed the Justice Department and the FBI to using them for domestic law enforcement, or peace enforcement, as it's now being called. So I don't want to take you too far from the UFO topic, but as someone who kind of looks into applications and misapplications of technologies, advanced technologies of all kinds, especially the stuff that's still lurking deep inside the National Research Establishment, I really wonder what they're up to. When I hear about people being repeatedly visited and having these experiences, and people apparently being tracked or finding some kind of transmitter in their sinuses or something like that. All of these things are within the capabilities of earthbound technology now.
That's been evidenced by the documentation that's been publicly available under the research of Jose Delgado.
Absolutely.
Implant technologies and things like stymoceivers and that kind of thing.
Absolutely. You can. I mean, they've been out there for a while, certainly for livestock. They're, as we discussed before going on the air, there's a fellow in Sweden who is publishing a book with X-ray photographs of the adult victims in Sweden who've had various types of transmitters implanted in them over the period of the course of many years. And Sweden is not the kind of country that you would think would be especially active in technologies like this. I think we have to assume, and there's a basis for assuming, that things are far more advanced in this country. So what are we dealing with here? Are we dealing with aliens? Are we dealing with spooks? Are we perhaps dealing with both?
I think probably both.
I do, too. Had you asked me a couple of years ago, I would have said probably aliens. since you're asking me now...
Well, it's incredible how much this stuff pops up.
It does, and it's starting to leak out now in terms of what's really been going on, in terms of the actual technologies that are out there, the enabling technologies. And I think the end of the Cold War had a lot to do with it, in that... perhaps a few people who've been involved in these programs or who have created these devices are being forced to seek commercial applications and markets for them, so we're actually seeing them on the open market,
uh-huh.
or they're going begging to conferences like the one that John Alexander and Janet Reno put on in Baltimore at Johns Hopkins, where they basically had to come out to the research community and say, here's all this swell stuff that can, you know, hypnotize, anesthetize, amnesiaize, and totally control a population, everything from gluing them to their chairs to gluing their cars to the road. And all of a sudden, it opened a lot of people's eyes as to the actual capabilities that we've been developing, lo, these 30 or 40 years.
Yeah, it's truly a hall of mirrors with a quicksand floor. Okay, we're going to go to our last break, and when we come back, I'm going to ask you one last question about the history of this, and I think it's an important question. So when we come back, we'll deal with that. My guest is Clark Matthews. He is a New York-based computer professional and technology columnist for The Spotlight. He's also affiliated with Paranet Computer Network, and we're talking about mind control and the intelligence community's role in the involvement of UFOs. We'll be right back. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum.
Grab a pen and get ready to copy down a computer address. It's an email address where you can reach the Paranet Information Services BBS through America Online. With America Online's Internet Gateway, you can send us mail and we can respond to you personally through your America Online screen name. With America Online's Usenet Newsgroup tie-in, you can also access the 7 Paranet newsgroups dealing with UFOs, metaphysics, paranormal activity, and others. Learn about our upcoming shows and pose questions in advance. And if your question is selected, you'll get a free cassette copy of the show. You'll also find summaries of past shows. If you're not already a customer of America Online, call 1-800-827-6364 for more information. Now, here's that email address to reach us. It's paranet@aol.com or paranet@paranet.org. America Online and Paranet, a winning combination.
October 1987, a child is lost in a well. No country comes to the aid of a child the way we do. Yet today, many children are lost. Lost in an education system unable to prepare them for a competitive world. Imagine if the effort that saved that child went into keeping the promise that every child gets the best education. Call 1-800-96-PROMISE for information on changing the schools in your community. A message from the Education Excellence Partnership and the Ad Council.
Well, I was a little nervous first time I went into an elementary school classroom as a junior achievement volunteer. But when I saw how eager the kids were, I knew it was going to be all right. They're so thrilled you're there.
If you've ever wondered what you can do to help kids expand their horizons, find out about our new elementary school volunteer program. Call 1-800-THE-NEW-JA. That's 1-800-THE-NEW-JA. A public service message brought to you by Junior Achievement and the Ad Council.
This is the Paranet UFO Continuum, a weekly program dedicated to the mysterious and fascinating world of UFOs. If you're interested in learning more about Paranet, the world's foremost communications network dealing with the UFO phenomena, call us at area 303-429-2654 or write to Box 172, Wheat Ridge, Colorado, 80034. Once again, here's your host, Michael Corbin.
And we're coming up on the top of the hour and unfortunately the end of the program. Clark, one quick question I wanted to ask you, and I don't want this to sound egotistical, but is there a possibility, from what we have learned so far, pre-1947, and the concern that the government seemed to have for the mysterious goings-on in the sky. Is there a possibility that they might have established some of the intelligence community specifically to deal with this problem?
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about that. At this point, we've got bales of Freedom of Information Act requests that were answered by the CIA, in which, you know, we know that they had directed U.S. embassies abroad to forward all credible UFO reports to CIA. We have reports of the South American jet fighters. There's the very famous one of the Iranian jet fighters. This was, you know, while the Shah was still in charge there. So we have lots of cables that have seen the light of day in the last 10 years, CIA cables, that were clearly in answer to a standing directive that all credible UFO sightings were to be directed to CIA. And, you know, obviously, Air Force intelligence, and I would assume the National Security Council, and probably a bunch of other such groups, you know, official and unofficial, would all be real interested in this. But there's hard evidence that the CIA is, and has been for some time. So, I think we're dealing with as we said at the beginning, it's a kind of a two-pronged phenomenon. At least that's the way I look at it. The first thing is that obviously by the late 1940s, they were very concerned about the physical reality of these things, UFOs. You know, their reality, their capabilities. Can we get one? Can we build one? And meanwhile, who do these things belong to that we're seeing?
Okay.
So they were concerned about the reality of it. But they were very interested in the social and psychological, the quote-unquote mind control propaganda aspects of this as well, just for social control, to get people to suspend disbelief, which people seem to do every time they see something credible about UFOs. People believe it right away. I believe it's pretty obvious that they have been looking to use this phenomenon for their own purposes.
Okay. Well, I'm afraid that's going to have to be the last word. We're at the end of the hour. Clark, thank you very much for appearing on the program. And for those out there who are able to access the computer network Paranet, you'll be able to reach Clark that way on Paranet. Next week, my guest is going to be Keith Farrell. We're going to take you back to an update on Omni's Project Open Book. Keith is going to give us an update on what has been discovered. So be sure and be here next time, next week, same time. And until then, I'm Michael Corbin telling you to keep your eyes on the skies. Good night.